This is CliffCentral.com.
Ah, good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday. Tuesday.
Sounded like Titty Tuesday,
yeah.
But there.
Did it's Titty Tuesday. How did you know? Well done. Well
I'm
spotted.
I'm so glad
there.
I'm wearing mine.
Yes, well done, Leanne. You remembered the Titty Tuesday dress code.
You didn't forget yours at home today.
No, I didn't leave them on the bed.
I unfortunately left mine there, strapped to the side of the bed.
As
I put them in a harness. They store them in, and I feel I've left this whole thing awkward and embarrassing, and I definitely let the side down. I'm sorry.
How are you going to go on with your day?
With a cup of coffee, that's what I'm going to do.
Yes!
It's become like a ritual to me now. Start in the morning, cup of coffee. After the show, I have one more. And then I'm usually done.
For
the
day. I'm so sad I'm missing out on that. Does it feel good?
I've noticed you don't do any coffee at all.
I get like really ill.
Really?
I call the house doctor ill. I can't move.
Is it an allergy type thing?
It's a migraine thing.
Oh.
Where I can't even move my head.
That's quite shit.
Yeah.
Shame.
So, but I enjoy watching people enjoy it.
Hmm. You enjoy watching people enjoy it.
I just feel a little
sort of
sad.
Like, yeah, okay. Sort of like Andrew Epstein and, I mean, Andrew, Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein and,
yeah.
And those young girls, yeah.
Yeah, some of them just watch.
Yeah, no, you go. No, you go. No, you go. No, it's your turn. No, I insist. You
are
go.
You enjoying it?
Yeah, are you having fun, Prince Andrew?
The gift that
yes,
keeps
I
on
am.
Giving.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Good morning, Gugu.
Good morning, Gareth. How are you?
Very good. See us back from Cape Town.
In one piece.
How was it?
It was amazing.
Hmm?
Absolutely amazing.
Great wedding. Jewish weddings are so happy. And I mean, look, all weddings
are
happy.
Oh, was it a Jewish wedding?
I feel like I'm missing out on this entire life and party.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Jewish people are my people.
The Jewish people.
Yeah.
They also do a really good wedding on a Sunday, which most people don't do on a Saturday. So...
Yeah, at first I thought it was a bit of an inconvenience. But once you were there and you caught up in the moment and everyone's having fun, you forget all of that. But I did put a lot of pressure on myself just to get all of my ducks in a row, my I's dotted, my T's crossed. Because this is only my second Jewish wedding. Yeah. Leanne, yesterday you said you had only
been to one,
right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to one, Google? Before?
No.
Yeah.
It's quite a thing, hey?
It's a little intimidating as well. You know, I thought, oh my gosh, there's
Did you get to wear one of those little...
A yami. Well,
there was a story around that because on Friday, Sia was in a panic because he didn't have a yarmulke and he was looking for one. And I said to him, you know...
It's the worst time to start looking for one on
Friday. All
my
Jewish friends have advised me, you've got to keep a backup yarmulke in the car. Do you know why?
Because you never know.
Well, because Jewish funerals happen the day after the person dies.
Oh,
usually.
Right.
So you have to be prepared.
Oh. But also,
they have to have a yarmulke in the car.
Yeah. They hand them out at the wedding sometimes if you don't have one.
Sometimes they do, but I didn't want to take that chance.
Mm.
And I just wanted to be prepared.
Was yours sequined?
No, but see, I had to have one that matched his outfit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so he did. He found one that matched his outfit. Did you go and buy one?
Not only did I find one, I found three. I said, you know what? Who knows? I might get there in the scenery. You know, it brings out different colors. And then I take photos and I have to match and my mood might change. So I had a white one. I had a black one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a black silk one.
Now you see?
Never know what the moment would have asked
what
for.
What you'll realize if you talk to people in the know, they'll tell you that depending on what color the yami is that you, the kippah that you wear is,
mm-hmm.
It depends on how conservative or liberal or left-wing or right-wing you are in Israel.
Jeez.
Some of the time, yeah. So,
you had two opposites there. You could have been sending crossed messages.
Yeah. Maybe I should have worn actually like fishnet yami.
And
that would have shown my belief.
But there are decorative ones. There are beaded ones. There are like African ones. There are all kinds of... listen, there's headgear for everybody.
But it was really fun. And I love the fact that it was a quick ceremony. Mm. You know, I'm used to... traditional Christian ceremonies and there's a verse from the Bible and then this happens and that happens. We arrived at the venue. It was late in the afternoon on Sunday. There was this one random wedding singer on his guitar.
Yeah, this is a shame.
Living out his Sundays.
Yes. But he was singing popular commercial English songs, but as Hebrew covers. So it was Ed Sheeran as a Hebrew song. And I thought, okay, I actually like this. The guys of... Yes. It's like, okay, I can bop to this. I can find my way around this. The guys of the wedding party were jumping around because that's part of the ceremony as well. Then they have to go and they identify the wife to make sure it's the right person they're marrying. They come back
down. Because you might marry the wrong person.
You might marry her mother or something, yeah. You know?
You know, once you're in, so you want to make sure you make the right decision there.
Of course.
The ceremony itself was about to start when waiters started coming out with drinks. And I thought, oh, this is my type of party, actually. A wedding ceremony where I can drink between. So I loaded myself up.
Yeah, of course.
Sat down.
So it doesn't waste time.
And the ceremony was really, really beautiful. And nice and quick. They broke the glass, danced around a bit, and then went into the reception. And everyone, because I was one of three black people.
But you like that. You like to be.
It never really matters to me.
It's like this ginger friend of mine who gets very upset when there are other ginger people. He gets furious because he's like, we already have a ginger.
Yeah, I'm the only gay in the village.
Right, yeah.
It must always be like that. Yeah. But because of that, you know, they all just embraced us. I was like, okay, I love being the celebrity around here. They thought, you know what, what's your name? And I'm like, hi, I'm Sia. No. We aren't going to call you Sia anymore. Uh-oh. You need a Hebrew name. Sure, go ahead.
Uh-oh.
And they're like, what does Sia mean? I'm like, well, Sia is a shortened version of Siyabonga, which means we thank you. They're like, yeah, your name is Tada, because that's how you say thank you in Hebrew. So I was walking around the entire afternoon now known as Tada, and I actually liked it.
Tada.
Yeah, Tada.
His dress is Tada.
Yeah.
Four.
So yeah, wedding all in all was a really great time. Yeah,
I liked it. People propping the bride up on a chair.
I strategically walked out of the room when things like that were happening.
You got to be careful, man.
I thought someone will be hoisted up in the air and they'll fall on top of me.
Yeah, you'll be right under them. That's no good.
Yeah, there was just a lot of jumping around, a lot of dancing around the room, chairs in the air. Mm. Tablecloths being made into skipping ropes.
It sounds like the Wild West.
Not even a little bit, a huge bit at this point,
All right, okay. So what's everybody's plan for this week? Because we're almost at the end of August, you realize that? And then it's I know, this month has gone by like this,
then,
and we always say so.
There are 4 months left of the year.
I know, so come on, what are we doing?
Sorry, I actually had to count to make sure.
No, it's crazy. It's really, really crazy. It's not good, and
I'm not good.
Well, I'm anxious. I'm suddenly very anxious because there's stuff I need to do today, and there's stuff I need to do this year, and I haven't done it yet, and I'm feeling like an underachiever. And this always happens in August. And of course, to compound things and make them much worse, next Monday is my birthday, and I hate it.
Yay!
No, you missed the point. I said, and I hate it.
Yay!
So. I've got to do things. I suddenly feel this terrible, gnawing pressure that I haven't done enough with my year. This always happens. I'm always miserable about it. I hate August. It's the shittiest month. It hasn't been that bad this month, I'll say, because we haven't had a huge amount of wind either. Mm. It's been quite pleasant. I know Cape Town's had some shitty weather, but
The weather was great this weekend, actually.
I'm thanks for that. Rub it in, because we look. It's getting better, but the point is, I just can't stand. I cannot handle this dryness anymore. I want some rain, and I can't believe it's September in a week and a bit.
But here's the thing, it didn't creep up on you.
You were warned by a few months.
And like a few calendars that I've had practice for over the last couple of hundred years. But
so I don't really have a lot of sympathy.
And Ben used to get so annoyed whenever I would say, oh, I can't believe it's already August.
Yeah, it's like Capetonians talking about weather.
You'd go, obviously it's August because August comes after September. And guess what it was? It was just, comes before September and after July. And guess what? It was just July. So he tells me these obvious things and it drives me crazy because it's a feeling. And I do think if you haven't put your plans into play by August, forget about it. You can write off December.
Who are you disappointing though?
Me.
Yourself.
Me.
Shame.
I'm just much more easy on myself these days.
But Leanne, you know, most of the time I am too. This fucking month.
Sound like me.
Really?
He does.
Yeah.
Listen to that language.
I feel so frustrated at this time of year. And it's partly, maybe it's the birthday. I get this, like, oh, what have I done this year? And I try to make a list in my head, and it's always short, and it's always unimpressive. And I go, ugh.
I still don't understand that.
I know. I'm just, you know what I am? This is my therapy session. First thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out.
Let
now
it all
feel,
out.
Yeah, now I feel better.
There we go.
Oh, we're going to talk about so much stuff that is more interesting than that, though. So don't panic if you tuned in and you thought, what on earth am I subjecting myself to this for? Well, we've got Krugersdorp killers.
Dum, dum, dum.
You know, the Satanist killers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about them a little bit.
Yesterday was the big sentencing.
Yes. South Africans who leave the country often come back. This is a research survey that we've done some looking into. And then we've got our favorite thing, a psychic, later on. And the reason we love a psychic is because so many of them have got it so spectacularly wrong.
Like, yeah, being promiscuous with so many women. Yes,
but also, we're gonna keep trying.
Sarah Jane is here. She says she wants to redeem herself this morning. Let's see.
That is the one who said that you were going to be promiscuous with so many women. So she's going to be on the line again. Okay, we'll try her again.
She says she has something new. But, you know, you're talking about this being your therapy session. I met up with a friend yesterday who's started going for therapy. Okay. And usually I'm all for that. I'm all for getting help if you need it and if you feel like it will help you out. But I was just telling him about my sister's experience, going, I don't know if it's for you. I don't know if this will do you any good.
Let's just be fair and let's remind people in case they missed it. Your sister is anti because she feels she's wasting money.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, now therapy has also made her way more emotional. And by that, she's more verbal about her emotions. One person could argue this is a great thing. I now think, sometimes we don't need to know all of this. So she's had a bit of a tough year last year, and that's why she also wanted to go to therapy. She changed jobs, and she also then a couple of months ago got into a bad car accident.
Oh, shit. Okay.
She's fine, but now she has a verbal language to say, you know, I have PTSD from the car accident. Ordinarily, would have just been like, oh, you know, it's so tough, shame, man, but we move past it. Now she's always verbal with things like that. So a couple of days ago, we all went out to watch a show together. It was my sister and I, my cousin and his girlfriend. And she's not much of a drinker, so we decided, oh, actually, you can be the designated driver for the night.
Convenient.
The rest of us will drink. It will be fantastic. Sure. So we loaded up on drinks before we left the house. We got into the car. We hit the road. All good and well with my sister driving. We hit the highway. And then Miss I'm Now Verbal About All of My Emotions goes.
She broke down?
Cars. Uh-oh. I just feel like I'm getting anxiety again.
Uh-oh.
And this is
on
not
the highway.
Oh, no.
On the highway. This is terrible.
The
this
middle
is not a good thing.
Of the highway. And she starts being so clear and concise about how she's feeling. She goes, I don't know. And the lanes. And I just feel like all of the cars are coming up. Listen, let me tell you, there's nothing that will sober you up.
Wow.
So jeez. Quickly.
Yeah. Like, okay. So, I can drive.
So in other words, therapy's good, but not when you unleash the results of and the kinds of experiences you have in therapy while you're driving on the highway and you have a passenger full of people who are practically drunk
in
the car with you. Oy, oy, oy.
You have to be certain about what therapy unearths. And I think with her, just unearthed everything all at once.
You're now provided, as an anxious person, you're now provided and furnished with the tools to really analyze your thinking and the language, as you say.
This is not good. Poor you guys.
We had to
put up with this.
We had to accommodate her every need at that point. It was now a support group. You are fine. Look at the white lines on the road. Focus on that.
Hell.
And she goes, it's getting a little warm. We're like, yep, roll down the windows. We'll totally forget. It's like the middle of the night now. Just roll down the windows and everything.
That's actually very scary.
Sure.
It was.
I mean, it's not. You do not need someone like that in charge of heavy machinery.
Mm-mm. But maybe you should go for therapy now, Karen.
No, I'll be all right. So, lots of stories in the news. We also have some surprises this week. Tomorrow, triumphant return for Mabali Moloi, who's coming to rejoin us, and she will be here on Friday as well. So we get a double dose of her coming in. Really, you know, we get a lot of feedback from people, and most of it is really useful, and I've got to thank everybody for the terrific feedback that we get. We've also started this call group now where we're going to be engaging with you fairly regularly to research what you think we should be doing more of, what we should be doing less of, what you like, what you don't, and how we can take podcasting forward in South Africa, because I think there's probably room for a lot of growth. And we're looking at all sorts of other ways of making, you know, what we do here at cliffcentral.com that much more useful to you and to our partners and clients too. So I'm looking forward to that. And just on that note, we've got one more week of Revix. So if you haven't answered these questions that are gnawing on the inside of you, like my August questions gnaw on the inside of me, with the rand devaluing, and I bought some currency because I've got to go to Italy next week. And your
when did you specifically buy it?
17.08 was the exchange rate, rand to the euro. Now that's hectic. 17.08 rands to each euro. And it burnt me. So I was thinking about Revix and what they do. And with the rand devaluing, crypto might be a something that you want to put a little bit of money into. So how long term should you be looking at this? Well, you could find out by listening to all of the episodes, but particularly to this week's edition of Beyond Bitcoin with Revix. Stay up to date with all things crypto now at cliffcentral.com, on the app or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't go, well, I'll wait for things to improve. Because if you are in rands and things don't improve, you're going to go, oh, I wish I'd done this 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Beyond Bitcoin, brought to you by Revix, a revolutionary new cryptocurrency investment platform. Go and listen to the episode. You can make your own mind up. You're clever enough to know. I don't need to talk you into anything. Go and take a look. If you like the look of it, then get hold of Sean and Louis. They're at Revix, and you can put in as little as $500 and you're in. It's safe and easy for South Africans to invest in something that the government can't screw up. That's what it is. You know, you don't need, this is not rocket science. Promise.
It's a safe house.
Yeah. You buy something that you know government can't screw up because they can't touch it. They don't have control. Not America, not Donald Trump, not Cyril Ramaphosa, not the Chinese, not the Russians. Nobody can touch this except you. It's probably the best way to run things.
Hey, but wait a minute. Isn't that something to look forward to? Your holiday? Aren't you at least excited about that?
Listen, don't get me wrong. When I talk like this, it's not because I'm unhappy. It's not because I'm a misery. And it's not because I'm dissatisfied with anything.
It's just a time of reflection, really.
Exactly. What happens is I look back and I do a quick calculation, like an accountant would do an assets and liabilities balance.
Inventory, taking stock.
And I go, and it doesn't matter how good the year's been. Doesn't matter how much I've done. I always feel I could have done more. I pressure myself. So it's entirely self-inflicted, and I don't expect sympathy for it. Enough about that crap.
Oh. Yes. Leanne, you said you don't feel that way anymore.
No, I've given up on myself.
So what have you? You've given up on yourself, or you've just given up on being like hardcore?
If I just survive, then I've done well.
As long as you're breathing, right?
Yeah.
But hang on.
Wow.
you haven't given up, like given up as in I'm not interested in trying anymore.
I kind of just feel like, yeah, that's it.
Someone needs the therapy. You go to therapy?
Yeah, I do. I haven't been in a while because it's very expensive. It ends up being, it's $1,000 a pop and you go once a week. So it's 4,000 rand a month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, listen to me. You are full of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but seriously, I know that you've been through all kinds of shit with your mom and relationships that were dreadful and all kinds of other stuff. And it's nobody's business, but that doesn't mean you just coast and you put things on hold and you're not like that.
It's weird. I mean,
you're not like that. You've never been like that.
My ex-husband, so from my first marriage, contacted my brother yesterday.
Yes.
So he had a heart attack recently.
Aye.
And he died 6 times. They had to revive him.
Not just once, but 6 times?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He had short-term memory loss, was in ICU for a month or two.
Oh, goodness.
Been like a huge recovery period. And there the reflection sets in with, if we were still married, I probably would have gone through that with him now. But he contacted my brother via Facebook Messenger,
wow.
I think.
Wow, yeah.
And said, you know what, life's just really short. I think about Leanne and your family. I have such a soft spot for your mum.
This is your ex?
Yeah.
Huh.
I wanted to find out how she's doing and to pass on my love and all the rest of it. So just yesterday was a real time of reflection for me.
Sure.
And, you know, you think back and you think, oh my gosh, I got married at 25 and,
yeah, you were really
and divorced at 30.
Mm-hmm.
And did I really know what I was doing then? No, I didn't.
No.
You only, yeah, you think you know everything when you're that age.
I'm in the thick of not knowing anything, no.
So,
and it was like, I just felt, do I really even pursue? And then there was another relationship after that. Do I even go through all of that again, you know?
But you don't have to go through all that again. But you said just now, you're over everything and you kind of, I know you've been through some crap. I mean, you really have.
Mm.
And a lot of people have. But it's the getting up. I hate to sound like these motivational speakers because I know you hate them as much as I do. But it's that getting up stuff that matters.
Yeah,
it's
not and that's in progress. It really is.
When you say giving up, I mean, I get...
I don't pressurize myself so much anymore.
Because you don't want 6 heart attacks in a row and dying 6 times, right?
Yes.
I get that. That's a very sensible point of view, by the way. But
yeah, and I used to be anxious about so many things and about achieving things, and now I'm just cruising and enjoying.
Going with the flow.
Yeah. I don't want to sit at the bottom
get all
of a
depro.
Pool.
Yeah, okay, because you used to talk like that and it drove me crazy. Like, I just don't understand suicide, and I don't have the tools to be able to get into the head of someone who's struggling with stuff.
What do you mean the tools?
Well,
empathy.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I've had to work very hard on pretending to be empathetic a lot of the time. You know this.
Leanne's honest.
Leanne's been in my life for 14 years, something like that.
32.
So I pretend often, not because I'm a shit person with no feelings, but because it's hard for me to figure that out.
It's not a skill that comes naturally.
And also, I don't have the chemicals in my head that you have. And as a result, I struggle to be properly empathetic. So it bothers me when I hear you talk like that because I wish I could do something.
Mm.
And as with all men, you try to solve problems rather than just listen. And you try to jump into things that you're not involved in, and that doesn't help.
Mm.
It irritates people mostly.
But I'm not in that position. Right. But
you are in a good place.
Stopped pressurizing.
Look at how your mother has how well she's done over the last little while.
And, she phoned the other day and she said, "Hi, love. Just wanted to let you know that I'm out of my nappies."
Oh.
So I said, "Jeez, Mom, that is fantastic." She said, "Yeah, it's been 2 years and, I finally got control back and it's really amazing.
The control of the sphincter?
It's more the...
That's the pissing.
Yes.
Okay.
So she's...
Why?
So she says,
talk like this, so what do you mean?
That's what friends do, right?
Dad was like, "Oh, you better not wet the bed."
Oh.
And Mark was like, "Yes, now we can save on nappies." Oh. And she said, "And you're just so supportive." And then that was at about 10 in the morning.
That's sweet.
And 6 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a phone call. "Hi, love. Just to let you know, I'm back in nappies."
Oh, it didn't go well, huh?
Didn't go well. Had an accident.
Shit.
I'm like, well, Mom, you tried.
She also feels a need to share all of this.
Someone puts pressure on themselves. It's her. About she's going back to work on the 1st of September. So everything has to be in order for that. She will walk by this time.
How old is she?
What am I?
Carry the 4.
Take your time, Leah.
67.
And she wants to go back to work, girl.
Yeah, she's going back on the 1st of September.
No, she's like that, yeah.
Very motivated.
Good for her.
67, I should be wearing white caftans all day.
Yeah.
All right, loads of things to get to this morning. Thanks for all the pissing and shitting stories. Kyle on the line, and that's very nice of him to message us this morning. If you want to get hold of us, 0797482090. We'll get your messages. All right, how about some news?
Yes.
What is happening?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because first of all, they arrested some cops. I know Gugu's with me on this
one.
Yeah. Five policemen are arrested for trying to resell counterfeit goods seized from
the people.
Mm-hmm. In the Joburg CBD, appearing before the magistrate's court on the 19th of August. That was yesterday. And lawyers for five police officers who were arrested for this said their clients would plead not guilty. Oh, of course they're going to say not guilty. Where did you get the stuff then, you bad cops?
Mm-hmm.
They're applying for bail in the magistrate's court on Monday. They're facing charges of corruption, theft, and defeating the ends of justice after allegedly trying to seize counterfeit goods and then sell them. At least we've got a story. This is amazing. We've got a story this year of someone who was arrested.
Oh, the police, right?
But someone.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that the prosecuting authorities arrested anybody. Just take a minute to let it all sink in. Maybe things are on the right track.
We've had a lot of inquiries.
Yes, but no arrests until this. This
yeah,
is good.
There was a lot of poop and donut, but nothing really happened.
Yeah. So the police officers denied stealing the goods, saying they were just assisting two foreigners to return goods to their shop. We were just taking these back. They said their counterparts, who arrested them, have falsely determined that they'd sold the items from a panel van.
Mm.
Come on. Mm. I mean, really, it's outrageous that these guys even think they can bullshit us like that. We can see what's going on, you bad cops. And you know what that does to good cops?
Gives them a bad name.
That's right. You give cops a bad name.
No.
You don't know this? No.
That reference was lost on me.
You're
was it lost on you?
I don't know what they're going on about either.
Yeah.
Just sit here quietly.
Okay.
You don't know it?
No, I've never heard it before.
Leanne, do you want to give them a little...
Well, who is it again?
Bon Jovi.
Oh, yes. You give love a bad name.
You don't know the song at all?
What?
Oh, wait.
Are you guys talking about?
All right, here it is. So, you give cops a bad name, all right?
Is that what the song is called?
Just listen. This will help you. And you're to blame. You give cops a bad name. That's the new song for the Joburg Metro Police Department.
You guys remixed that, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
No, it's exactly how it went.
Slick little.
Actually, Bon Jovi songs sound similar. They all sound similar.
Yes, that's.
That could also pass.
And performed by the same people.
No, but that could pass for Living on a Prayer.
It could.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun,
well
dun.
Done, Sia. You can definitely hear the underlying...
Bon Jovi basically had the same set of instrumentals.
All right. The mother of a South African man missing in Vietnam says she's now hopeless after her son may have been the victim of an organ trading syndicate.
No.
Yes, listen to this. If you have someone in your family who's out there in Vietnam, like Sia wanted to do once, teaching English...
Apparently, they learned.
Apparently, these two South Africans... were friends in inverted commas with some American woman who had also been a regular in Brazil.
Oh.
And they've just gone missing and they reckon they've had their organs harvested.
Does it say what?
Well,
they would take the kidneys, the liver.
Well, did they leave them alive? Stuff.
Sometimes not.
Because if they left them alive, they'd have to leave them with one kidney.
Yeah. But this is,
and then there's not much more you can take.
No, it depends how nice they are, these organ trafficking people. But, you know, apparently the Department of International Relations and Cooperation couldn't be reached for comment. The department has said before it was keeping in touch with the embassy in Hanoi in search for the men. And apparently gifted the givers are involved. And Colleen Botma is struggling to raise funds to save up enough money to go to Vietnam to search for her son. But I don't know. It's been a couple of weeks now. I haven't heard from him. Mm. Yeah.
But do you think they'd let you go after harvesting your organs?
Well, you can't. It's not like you can get up and run. You know, if you've had a kidney taken out, that's a fairly... It's a hardcore procedure, Gugu.
Well, look, dude.
You've got a great big gaping wound at the back of your... Yeah.
it's not like you're gonna recover from that and you're not gonna tell the story. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know what you mean.
They gotta take care of it somehow.
Gugu, you probably die after they've taken it from you because they drug you. This is how these guys work.
There's also septic stuff going on.
Yeah, they put a chloroform cloth over you and they knock you out.
Like in the movies, right?
Or they roofie you in a club or whatever. Then you wake up in a bath.
Picture that, yeah.
Taken
ice.
Your no, organs. Not ice. Yes, the organ harvesters. They've come to take your stuff away. And you don't normally make it out of that. Small Business Development Minister Khumbudzo Ntshavheni.
Thanks for that segue.
has admitted to being part of the CR17 campaign, but denies allegations she used Cyril Ramaphosa's campaign funds for personal benefit. She released a statement referring to the media reports as malice and devoid of truth. Her name appears among those of the provincial coordinators who received funds. You know, this is how sick and twisted and rotten the ANC is. Even when there are only two candidates, and one of them is Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma and one is Cyril Ramaphosa, you still have to pay off. Cyril had to pay off people like this loser, who's now a minister. What is she minister of? Small Business Development. Well, she certainly knew how to run a small business for herself.
Well,
that small business consisted of, I will go around buying you votes, but you got to pay me so I can pay them. This is what the ANC is, the big pyramid scheme. So someone at the top has money because all the people beneath can't make money. They're just useless parasites. And then what happens is the money gets funneled down to assure the votes. And this is how this thing what's the stupid place called in Pretoria where they had it?
What thing?
That's the Expo Center, Nasrec, where they had the ANC's conference. Remember when
Nasrec is in the south?
South, yeah.
Not the Pretoria.
Did I say Pretoria?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. My brain is not working. Anyway, so Cyril had to pay off these people, and now everybody's up in arms. Like, Cyril had funders. Well, where do you think politicians get their money? They don't get it from themselves. They don't have money. And in Cyril's case, it's mostly tied up in businesses. Plus, why would he spend his own money when he can get other people to bankroll him? Right?
Yeah.
So there's that. And then we've got to ask, like, who is funding Nkosazana Zuma's campaign? Don't you want to know equally who's funding hers? Because this looks like a smear. It looks like, well, we're going to find out who funded Cyril and we're going to put it out there and embarrass them or embarrass him. And, you know, show us the other side. Because both sides are revolting to me. Both sides show how puerile and putrid the ANC is. You have to pay people to do the right thing. It's putrid. You can smell the stink. Putrid means it's in putrefaction. It's rotting.
Decaying.
It's rotting. It's disgusting.
The ANC will not last another 5 to 10 years. It just won't. Not in its current incarnation. And all these people who are talking ANC, ANC, ANC. Good luck to you guys. You're going to have to find a new job in about 5 to 10 years. It's going to be over for you.
Yeah, they're going to have to find a job like everyone else, right?
Correct. And actually do something that adds value to the economy.
I was looking at Minister Mbalula's Twitter profile now as a minister transport.
It's gone back, huh?
Oh, so he boring. Was taking videos and posting photos of himself
so
at this
boring.
Roadblock over the weekend. He had stopped a taxi as well, and he posted this video of him talking to the passengers of this taxi going, yeah. No, I'm on top of things. This driver that you guys were being driven by was breaking the law, and I stepped in. You can trust me. And I'm thinking, well, okay.
People died yesterday.
It's just
know that?
The same.
He doesn't know, but for him, it's
same
all,
speech.
It's
different
all a big
pants.
Show, right? He's just putting on a big show. And as you say, Gugu, people died. There were taxi accidents yesterday. We read about in the news horrible things that happen on our roads all the time. Of course, some of this stuff is bad driving and drunken driving and all that stuff. But a lot of it is just people in accidents. We heard about this one person in a taxi who got flung out of it into oncoming traffic on the other side of the highway. Please, Minister, have a little bit of decorum. I know that you are an absolute moron. I know that you've got 3 brain cells and they laugh at each other while you're asleep. But try to be a little more sensitive, because in a world where merit matters, you would never have existed.
Yeah, I'm talking about assessing your achievements.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane. It's all about him, hey? And this is the same thing. And I've said before, this is the same thing that drives me crazy about Donald Trump, is it's always about him. We've got these egomaniacs in charge of the world, and they do nothing for the ordinary people. And when they do, believe me, they take all the credit. And when things are going badly for ordinary people, they take none of the blame.
I'd love to know how many different positions Mbalula's had. He's been Minister of Sport.
He's been the girl and he's been the boy. He's been the top, he's been the bottom.
He's taken them all, boy.
He'll take whatever he gets from government.
He's been the front, no, but he's been the back.
Really, I mean...
He wasn't expecting it to go there.
How do they just put someone in a position, like he goes from Minister of Police to Minister...
Yeah, well,
what does he know about all these different positions as one person?
Gugu, I wish...
How does it work?
I wish you were in Parliament to ask that question, because the ANC doesn't care about that stuff. What they care about is looking after their own elite. And that's what they've got. They've got their own elite.
He previously served as both Minister and Deputy Minister of Police and Minister of Sports and Recreation.
Then he was also the head of voting or something.
Yeah. He's a member of the NEC.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. And what are his qualifications for this? None. Zero.
Not even woodwork.
No, he doesn't have any of that. So, all right, let's just leave him alone because it's going to drive me crazy. Then one last thing you need to know in the news. This is quite important. Ebola. You know, we spoke about this just briefly the other day. There's some good news on the Ebola front. Congolese authorities have confirmed a new case, though, in the remote militia-controlled town of Walikale, which is hundreds of kilometers away from where previous cases occurred. Now, this makes people a little bit worried because it's west of Goma, in one of the towns affected by the Ebola epidemic, and much further away from all the other cases. So this could be an isolated case. It might be a different strain.
Mm.
Not good news. And we were talking just the other day about this this really good news around how they've come up with a possible vaccine.
Yes.
And they're testing it out at the moment. Congolese doctors have been working round the clock to try and work with the World Health Organization to develop a means of us tackling this horrible, horrible disease once and for all. It's the disease that turns your whole inside into soup.
And it mutates. It's very clever and resistant.
Hideous to behold. All right, so when we get to more news later on, we can get into some more detail around this. That's what you need to know so far.
Yuck.
Yuck is right. Ugh.
Look, we do sometimes become so desensitized to stories like this, but I've mentioned it ages ago when I first watched it, but this documentary called Orphans of Ebola.
Oh, yeah?
Yuck. Heartbreaking to watch, but I think it's a proper wake-up call to anyone who does watch it. Because you really do think about this wretched disease. And how when you just don't know what's going on, and how these communities are dealing with it, man.
Very scary.
Yeah. Someone who was well-loved in the community now just has this, no one rocks up to the funeral. Because they're like, no, I don't know. What if I catch it? I don't know how to catch it.
For a while, what they do with people when they're not sure what the disease is and what's happening, they often bury these people in like lead caskets, right? And they seal them up, they solder them closed, because they're not sure.
Mm.
And if some of this disease seeps out, it can be really, really deadly.
And how in a lot of traditional African communities, funeral is really held up as a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, no one rocks up to your funeral. There are a lot of traditional customs that need to be done, like washing of a body or whatnot.
Can you imagine?
No one wants to wash you.
No one wants to do that.
Sad.
Hell no.
The kids are left alone.
Imagine no one wanting to wash you and coming to your funeral and stuff.
I'd like no one also, to wash
well, yeah,
me,
I don't
Frank.
Want that.
Yeah, I don't want anyone.
Also,
to wash
people
me.
Turn on each other.
I don't know.
On each other. So if
on
you,
each other's.
On each other's.
Yes.
So in the hot zone, which was the documentary on Ebola, there'll be entire clans or villages that turn on another clan or village because they've heard that they have this dreaded disease. They would send a few brave men in to go and kill everyone, and then they would burn the village.
Oh, my God.
To get rid of the disease.
Oh.
So it causes, you know, the military gets involved and they put up these blockades in roads so that people don't go near these infected places. It's just,
my God, it's horrible.
It creates a huge social problem as well.
Listen, be grateful that you don't wake up with Ebola today. All right, that would
just
not
the
be
little things to be grateful
it's
for.
It's the little things, people. let's all just keep our tits on, right? Like Leanne said at the start of the show this morning.
Oh, but you didn't keep yours on.
I left mine at home in the harness, as we've discussed. All right. I don't know whether my tick is correct here or not, but Bitcoin is at 10,799 dollars. Ethereum at $199. That's what I've got. If I'm incorrect, please let me know, because this thing has been faulty once or twice before, and it's made me super nervous about giving you the cryptocurrency updates, which I used to give you every day, remember? You see how things have changed? All right.
Didn't you say you were going to tell us about the Krugersdorp killers?
Yes, we've got that story. Do you want to know what happened there right now?
Yeah.
We can get straight into it. It's such a sickening story. So these are the
Let's talk about it while we're alive, because we could be killed.
That's well, no, see, they've all been sent
they've
to jail.
They've been sentenced now. So.
It's safe,
a bunch of them. Yeah,
the streets are safe again.
So apparently the judge who presided over this said it was the worst case he's ever presided over in 18 years of being on the bench. Listen to this.
Cecilia Steyn, the mastermind behind the killing spree in Krugersdorp.
This woman is revolting.
It's a woman.
It's a woman. Look at this.
Cecilia Payne.
It's two women and a man.
She's the scariest looking woman. Huh?
Cecilia Steyn, Marcel Steyn, and Zach Valentine.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Scary looking motherfuckers. So, continue.
Yeah, correct. So this is Cecilia. She's the boss. She's the mastermind. Mm. She was... She said that the devil himself had told her how to do it.
Mm.
All of this stuff was as, you know, she's
like
looking.
Hansi.
Yeah, well, she's looking for a reason for this to be more important than it is, because she's just a stupid killer who's obviously got really bad DNA as well.
Krugersdorp sentenced to at least 13 life terms.
Good.
It is almost that the Krugersdorp area and its surrounds were struck by a man-made tsunami.
This is the judge, by the way.
The only difference being that this tsunami had chosen its victims carefully, and before striking, it scouted and ran trial runs on its victims. The driving force of this tsunami was accused number two, who, unlike the forces of nature, had directed when and where the tsunami had to strike.
Yeah.
Zach Valentine, touted as a brainwashed foot soldier, sentenced to at least 8 life terms.
Oh. An elaborate plan was put in place to obtain more money, resulting in accused one faking his death. Accused one had made accused two the beneficiary of his life policy for 3.57 million.
Marcel Steyn, a young but active participant in the murders, sentenced to at least 7 life terms.
Uh-huh.
A continued participation in the operations of the enterprise must be viewed in a serious light. She was no longer an innocent, immature youth anymore, but an 18-year-old who was seasoned in crime.
These three...
But the worst part about these people is they stand there in the dock, and these three, they look like... I mean, look, she's quite scary, this the mother.
The other two look pretty normal.
They look like the kind of people you'd bump into at the shops, you know?
Mm.
You wouldn't bump into them too
hard. I don't want to.
No. Your trolley would go over their foot, they'd be like, I'll fucking kill you.
My word.
But imagine how bad you need to be described as like a hectic force of nature.
A tsunami. Eh?
Well, the judge's exact words were, she was elected by Lucifer. I mean, that's hardcore, you know? It's just unreal. And such scary people.
And you know, it runs in the family. So Cecilia's the aunt of the 21-year-old.
Oh, I thought she was the mom.
Marcel.
Okay.
She's the aunt. The mother... Mm-hmm. Miranda, who's Cecilia's sister,
yes,
was previously convicted of murder as well and is currently serving out a 115-year sentence.
Oy.
Then LaRue Steyn, which is Marcel's older brother, entered a plea bargain with the state in 2018 after being involved in 7 of the murders.
Mm.
So there are other people who are already serving time for these murders.
Horrible people.
Another part of the group, John Barnard, is serving 20 years after his 2016 conviction.
John's involved?
Oh.
They call themselves Electus Per Dues, chosen by God.
Per Deus. Well, Electus Per Satanus, if you ask me.
Mm-mm.
Terrible people. These people walk among us. Like, I don't want to get like Sia where I'm paranoid about everything and everyone's the killer.
But you have to.
No. But there are people like
you have just answered your own question. These people walk among us, but I don't want to get paranoid. Well, you have to. They walk among us. Your time to delete random numbers off your phone. Don't open the door to anyone. Don't pick up anyone while you're driving. You go home this afternoon, you lock the door, and you just see the world through the blinds. Nothing.
Next thing, you're going to start carrying a fork in your pocket.
Well, I don't even trust my delivery guys. You know, if they're delivering some food, I'm like, leave it at security. I don't want eye contact with any randoms.
This is a family of people. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, there was this paranoia about Satanism. Mm-mm. And we were told at school, Satanists are everywhere, right?
I did actually have Satanists at school.
Really?
Oh, yes, you did. Were they friends with the RVP?
No, they were a different clan.
The Avia Beer ones didn't mix with the Satanist ones, did they?
No.
Talk about clicks.
The Satanist ones, the one killed her hamster by microwaving it as a sacrifice.
As a sacrifice to Satan, a little hamster.
Mm. My problem with that is, you know, like, what do you do when you need to warm up your 2-minute noodles?
And you've got whiskers all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so stupid and thoughtless. Flesh. I mean, if you're gonna, this just proves to you that you know, Satanists are morons. I mean, here's the problem: they wildly inflate the number of actual cases. And remember, people like this also to get attention. Now they're going to jail for murder. They must have seen the writing on the wall. They were like, okay, this is not going well for us. We're definitely going down. How do they make themselves more interesting and more glamorous? And they can say, well, we are evil. All the way through this process, they might have even toyed with the idea of, if we have a ritual or we have some kind of belief system, then it makes us more interesting. Mm. Gives me the excuse to do this. I don't think that there are that many Satanists in the world. I really don't. I've never met one personally. I've met people who dress in black and, you know, look
goths.
Like
goths.
I wanted to ask, if people think, you know, you actually Satanist.
You're talking to the guy right now who's wearing slim jogger pants.
Black.
A puffy jacket with black. Some...
with fur.
With faux fur on it. Do I look like the intimidating Satanist right here?
Black.
Can we have a moment for Gugu's cap?
Yeah.
What about
I would
cap?
Worry that
speaking
you...
Speaking of apparel.
Okay, let's talk about Gugu's cap and just explain it to everybody who's listening.
So, Sia looked at it and he was trying to figure out what it said. He said... trying to figure out what your cap says. Is it L-O? And Google's like, no, they're gang signs.
Well, it is gang signs.
Just gang signs.
Just gang signs.
No big deal.
Well, you have to put some context to it. The letters of what's written on his cap are actually hands. And it does look like L-O something, L-O M or... Sorry, I missed that lesson. Gang sign lesson at school.
All right, so... have you heard enough about the Krugersdorp killers?
Jeez.
Dreadful,
to scare me.
Dreadful people.
I don't want... I would feel bad to even just be in their cell.
In their cell?
Who
I wouldn't want to be stuck in their cell. I'd rather be Jeffrey Epstein with these people.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember you spoke about how you're not planning on meeting any people in heaven and that all your people will be in hell. Imagine now meeting these motherfuckers over here.
I would not be very happy to meet these people anywhere, whether it's in this life or the next.
Yeah,
I'd be in no hurry, Gugu. These are not my kind of people. Mm-mm. Never have been, never will be. If I'm over here on the far left, they're on the far right. These are the kind of people, if I walk into a place and I see that they have people like that in a place like that, then I'm out. I'll go and find somewhere else. All right, so here, first of all, did you hear about the Megan Creamer murder in Cape Town 2 weeks ago? Another sick act of social depravity we see in this country. What is that all about? Do you want to fill us in, Leanne? This message comes from Joe.
I only heard about it very briefly, about this Megan person, and that was because social media was blowing up over it, but I don't actually know the story. What is her surname?
Creamer.
C-R-E-M-E-R.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was missing at a point. She's 30 years old, and her body was found a couple of weeks ago in a sand mine.
In a what?
In a sand mine.
A sand
she was
mine.
A show jumper, God. As in with horses.
How horrible.
It's
there's so many murders we can't even keep up.
No, it's ridiculous.
Oy, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't this awful?
She was abducted. They say she may have been in her car when it passed through a roadblock about 5 hours after her abduction. During the abduction, the suspects allegedly beat a bakery manager in the face. Yeah, it's messy.
Oh, my God.
They made withdrawals of money from her accounts.
Oh.
Could have been several tens of thousands of rand.
People are sick.
Twisted, sick bastards.
She was found in a Philippi sand mine. She had been tied up with a rope around her neck. Three suspects appeared in court later that day. They were both from a settlement nearby. All three have criminal records for theft and assault. One was out on bail from another murder charge when he was arrested. And they're all believed to be members of the Six Bobs gang.
Yeah, okay. More sick individuals around this country. Do we need to go into any more details?
Oh, yeah.
Someone just sent me a message saying, I didn't tell those people in Krugersdorp to do that. I know who I speak to. Love, Satan. And then someone... Vuyani says, hey, Gareth and team, those guys are not Satanists. They are God-chosen. What happened to calling people what they call themselves? Yeah. I mean, they said, what did they say? Electus Deus or whatever. So that means chosen by God. See?
In their lives, Satan is God.
Well, maybe, maybe not. Graham says, it's so funny seeing middle-class people wake up to what the NHI means for all of us. Just 6 months ago, I was intolerant and I had no faith in Cyril's New Dawn. Well, stew in it now, you liberal idiots. Suddenly my warning of impending communism isn't so far-fetched now. Wake up, South Africa. The ANC belong on Robben Island. That's from Graham. Woo. Yeah, okay. Graham, not letting anything down. I'm just listening to Leanne Moll telling her story, says Mfundo. For some stupid reason, I just thought of a cat and how it can have more than one life when I heard about your ex-husband and how he died six times. So everyone in Leanne's life, her cats and her ex-husband, all have 9 lives.
It seems that way.
It's unbelievable.
Is that your version of a silver lining in the story?
Well, that's what Mfundo says.
Just trying to clarify.
Thanks, Mfundo.
All right. So don't forget, we've got a psychic later on. People are very excited about that.
Does she know that she's going to be on?
I hope so. We're going to check in on her and find out whether that's the case. So stick around for that. And just because Gugu and Sia didn't hear it before, they need to hear it now. Here's some Bon Jovi for you this morning. All right, just to get you in the mood.
This is CliffCentral.com.